The theme for today comes from the 7th chapter of Isaiah. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Can we talk about signs for a moment? I've got a little test for you. Eric is going to show some signs on the screen, and you have to tell me what they are and what they mean. They're from the medieval times, so they're a little tricky. And I'll give you a hint by giving you the name of what they represent I'll give you a few seconds. Okay, so here's the first sign. What do you think that is, a sign for? I'm sorry, I heard too many things. Barbiere. Did I say that right? I've got Janet and Ginger to correct me. Barbiere. Barber, right? So you see the shaving, the razor. I'm not sure what that other thing is. It's a teaser, I think. I don't know. And a shovel. Barbiere? Isn't that what that is? Okay. Now, if I'm wrong, I mean, that's possible. Maybe I didn't get the right translation. Let's go to the next one. This one's a little tough. I thought I heard... Oh, very good. Brower. A brewer. Excellent. Okay, next one. Bookbinder. Wow, nailed it. Buchbinder. Thank you. Maybe I should have Janet or Ginger say these. What's the next one? This one's hard. I didn't catch that. Buchdrucker. It's a printer. Yeah, good luck with that one. Okay, the next one. This one's hard too. Yeah, I would have thought baker as well. I would have thought that too. The word is farber. Farber. F-A-R-B-E-R. Farber. Is a person who dyes cloth. A dyer. This one's really easy. If you don't get this one, a fisherman. Fisher. Next one. This one's hard too. I think it can be. It's the word is Gerber, and it's a tanner. So I've read descriptions where it could be a craftsman or a leather worker. Okay. I'm just going to give you the words. Knopfmacher is the next one. Knopfmacher. Yes. There's a little hint, but it's hard to see. See the little buttons on the side? It's a button maker. Okay, the next one is a Kirshner. Kirshner. Yeah, these are all German. Auf Deutsch, yeah. It's a furrier, and I wouldn't have gotten that one either. The next one? How do you figure this one out? That's one I would have thought of too. This is actually a painter, so I guess the red color behind is supposed to indicate that he painted it a pretty color. That's a Maler, M-A-L-E-R. Next one is a Mueller. You know what? The signs there are telling me that you guys are all right, but it said that it was a miller, is one who grinds wheat, grain into flour. The next one should be pretty easy. Oh, you skipped one. That's okay. That's a Schneider. Did somebody say that? Very good. It's a tailor. The next one is? That's okay. Sattler. Sattler. S-A-T-T-L-E-R. You can see the saddle. Well, I'm back in the saddle again. The next one? Schumacher. Duh. And the last one here, boy, this one you'll never figure out unless I tell you what it is. It is a siphon seeder. Siphon seeder. Anybody? Those are bars of soap. A soap maker. In the days when the general population was illiterate, pictures were a way of telling you where you could find something in a store or in a building. So outside the door, they would hang these shingles to let you know that there's a barber inside in case you needed a haircut, or if there was a printing press if you had printing needs. You know, Apple computers weren't the first to use signs or icons to make things like computing easier to navigate. The application was so popular, it wasn't long before Windows came along with the same idea of using pictures and icons. But let me tell you the story behind a very special sign. Some 700 years before Jesus, there was a king named Ahaz. Ahaz was in a jam. I mean, a serious jam. In his day, the promised land had been divided into two kingdoms. I have a picture of the divided kingdom, so you can kind of see. This is the land of Israel here. I hope that comes through clear. And you've got Judah here in the southern part, named after the tribe of Judah, and the northern kingdom, which included most of the other tribes of Judah in what they referred to as Israel. Samaria was up on top there, and further out, as you'll see in the next one, the Assyrians were a little bit further between the Tigris and Euphrates valleys. Have you got that next one? So Ahaz was the king of the southern kingdom. And during his reign, the relations between the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom were not going so well. When Israel and Syria, not to be confused with Assyria, so Syria is just a little bit above Israel here, when the northern kingdom joined forces and alliance with together, obviously that was a big threat to Ahaz in the southern kingdom. The prophet Isaiah was God's mouthpiece during those days, and God used him to speak the truth to those in power. And during this conflict, Isaiah told Ahaz not to be afraid. Well, that's easy for you to say, Isaiah. He feared that the northern alliance was signaled the coming destruction of the kingdom of Judah, and of course his power and reign over it. So Ahaz decided that he wanted to, or at least was contemplating, joining an alliance with Assyria, this big group over here in the Tigris and Euphrates Valley area, to counterbalance the Israel-Syrian empire or alliance. And through Isaiah, God had encouraged Ahaz not to trust in that alliance, but to trust in God's wisdom and power. In God's plan, Israel and Syria's alliance against the southern kingdom would amount to nothing. But what if he was wrong? God was trying to assure Ahaz that Israel, the northern kingdom, will no longer be a nation in 65 years. From our perspective, it's real easy to look back because we know that the Assyrians came along and crushed the northern kingdoms of Israel and Syria. But what Ahaz didn't know, that Assyria would be coming for them as well. But Ahaz was too worried to trust God. And so Isaiah invites Ahaz to do something that just might shock you. He said, "Ask a sign from the Lord your God. Let it be as deep as Sheol, the grave, or as high as the heavens." In other words, Ahaz, anything you choose for a sign, just let me know and I'll do it. I'll give it to you. How many times does God give us those kinds of opportunities to ask for our own sign? Wow. But you know, God knew the heart of Ahaz. And Ahaz responded, "I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to a test." And now that sounds really pious and proper. You know, Jesus said as much in the wilderness when he was tested by Satan, but that's the difference. The truth is, Ahaz obviously didn't trust the word of the Lord. And so Isaiah continued speaking for God. And he said, "Hear then, O Israel, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary men that you weary God also? Therefore the Lord will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin will conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel," which Matthew tells us means God with us. This marvelous sign was meant for Ahaz. And how it was fulfilled in Ahaz's day is difficult to say. Possibly a little child was born in the palace area or just outside, and you could hear the mother in the distance calling out the name of her son, "Emmanuel! Emmanuel!" And each time that name rang out, Ahaz would remember the Lord's promise. The promise of a sign, Emmanuel, God with us. But we know that it also became a miraculous sign that would be for all people of every generation. And so we hear those words again in a completely different situation. Matthew, the first chapter, records this. "Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.'" And then Matthew goes on to say, "All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet Ahaz. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. There it is again. The same sign, 700 years later. Different scenario, totally, but the same truth. God is with us. What was the situation? Joseph and Mary were betrothed to each other. A betrothal was essentially a marriage that had not been consummated. Imagine what's going on in Joseph's mind when he hears that Mary's with child, a child not his own. That may not bother our modern enlightened ears. But in Joseph's day, it was devastating. How could his beloved Mary have done such a thing? And yet he knew her. He knew her humility, her devotion to him, her faith in God. It was in this quandary that the angel of the Lord came to Joseph and repeated that prophecy that was given to Ahaz 700 years previous. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. The Holy Spirit has given us faith to believe. And for 2,000 years, Christians of every race, tribe, and nation have called him Emmanuel, God with us, fulfilling that prophecy. So what does this all mean for us today? What is the alliance of evil you are facing today? We all have something that makes us fearful. Is it the fear of world powers that seem to be aligning to get against our nation? Or maybe it's looking at the current inflation and cost of living situation we have now, wondering if you'll be able to withstand the financial hardship. People near or in retirement on fixed incomes may be wondering if they can pay for their basic needs and wondering if the homeless person they saw might just be them one day down the road. Or maybe you're afraid of losing a job, medical care, just when you need it. Can our country absorb the flow of immigrants and provide for everyone's medical care? Or maybe you're fearful of living in a society that's moved away from the social norms and values that threaten your idea of what this world could and should look like and act like. Do you shudder to think about what social issues your children will face when they grow up? What about relational problems? Someone you love seems to be drifting away, like Joseph, feeling like he was drifting away from Mary, maybe a spouse, seems to be more hostile and increasingly angry, and you fear divorce is inevitable. Your kids have stopped communicating with you or begin to treat you disrespectfully because you had a disagreement, leaving the relationship irreconcilable. We may not have an army like the Syrian Israeli group that are seeking to destroy us, but just like Joseph, we have things going on that make us fearful and distract us from seeing the sign of Emmanuel, God with us. You know, the way I see it in our day, we don't just have one major threat imposed on us, but a multitude of distractions that keep us from seeing and trusting in the sign of Emmanuel. It's kind of like you drive down the freeway today, and there are signs all over the place. It's a forest of advertisements as you go down the road, to the point where you don't even see them anymore. These advertisements claim that they're going to solve all your problems. Need a lawyer? Need food? Need entertainment? There's a sign out there for you. And Satan uses all of these troubling issues to make us afraid, to push us toward unhealthy and unspiritual alliances in the hope that we can somehow, in our own power and imagination, escape the confrontation we have with perceived enemies. Fear is what often takes our minds and our hearts off of the one who promises to restore all things for his people. He will make everything right, even our own sins, through his promised presence with us. Emmanuel, God with us. The shingle that God hung in Judah for Ahaz is the same sign that answers all of our problems today. The chief one being our sin. Emmanuel is the sign by which he reminds us of his son's great redemptive work. You know, nowhere on the God sign does it say DIY, do it yourself. Ahaz and Joseph were both called to trust God, who would come in the form of an infant child to do what was impossible. God has also made himself fully known to us through the baby Jesus, true God, true man, born to fulfill the promise of the ages. He revealed himself as Redeemer. Jesus is with us, is our reconciler. Once we were separated from God through sin, but when Jesus Christ came, he brought God to us. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. There's a good chance that you're feeling fearful about something today, and if not today, then soon. So here's the sign that will bring peace to your hearts and comfort to your souls in whatever situation you find yourself in today. This is the sign given by God that you can count on in this life and in the life to come. Emmanuel, God with us. Amen.